Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello, this is Joe Milligan, and welcome to the Coach K and Joe Show. I am joined, as always, by Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, how are you this Friday?
Well, Joe, the coach is doing pretty good. My arm's a little sore from watching Manning throw all those touchdowns last night, all those passes, and completion after completion after completion. You know, everybody uses the analogy like a surgeon.
Yep.
If he's a surgeon, he definitely cut through that Ravens defense. And you know, I'm left-handed, and he's right-handed, and my left arm's sore. I must be psychological.
Yeah, it was. I didn't get to see it, but what I saw in the highlights were pretty spectacular. He's still got it, and he's looking great. And I'm sure the people of Denver are happy. But then again, you know, the Colts fans can't be too upset with who they have either. So,
well, I wasn't doing any analogies or comparisons with the quarterback for the Colts, Luck, but Manning just he was tough. You know, the critics, and I already got some text messages last night. You know, regular season, this is what it always is, first game of the year, but never the last game of the year, those types of things about Manning. But the bottom line is the guy was just on fire last night. I'm not sure about the Denver defense, although everybody was saying it was, you know, spectacular. I don't know if it really was or not, but offensively, he's got some weapons at wide receiver. The addition of Wes Welker is such a positive for the Broncos, even though he dropped a punt that led to a Ravens touchdown, and everybody was quick to jump on him about that. He was solid. The former basketball player at receiver, I think his last name's Jones, he was solid. They were pretty good all the way around. On the other side of the ball, I didn't think that Joe Flacco had a bad night. I just thought the Ravens had a tough night. Offensively, Dallas Clark dropped a couple of big balls, one of them for sure that would have been a touchdown in the first half that I thought was a critical point in the game. Instead of going up three, the Ravens would have gone up seven and been going into the halftime, you know, with a full touchdown lead, and that's always a positive thing. But after halftime, they had the delay at the beginning of the game. If you were watching it, our listeners that were watching it, if you weren't, they had a delay at the beginning of the game because of a lightning storm. And it doesn't matter if the lightning storm is close or 200 miles away anymore, they hold the game up. And Manning joked about it in his press conference about getting up, sitting down, getting up, sitting down, getting up, sitting down. Team prayer once, team prayer twice, team prayer three times, but maybe praying three times helped him. So seven touchdowns and historic performance, Joe. He's the first quarterback in like 44 years to throw seven touchdown passes. I think the last one was Joe Capp in 1969. The last time Joe Capp got some publicity was, I think, about a year or so ago when he punched out a former competitor on the football field, who was sitting in a wheelchair with a cane, couldn't walk much anymore, and Joe Capp could barely move, and he punched him out on TV. So, seriously. So, 34 for 62 was Flacco with two TDs, but the big night, the big headlines belong to Peyton Manning, the former Indianapolis Colts, seven TDs, 27 for 42, 462 yards, and if you had Peyton Manning in fantasy football, you had a pretty good night. Joe, also, Monty Ball from Wisconsin, the outstanding running back from the Big Ten, he had a few carries last night, didn't look too bad, showed some quickness into the holes. I can see we're having technical difficulties again. I noticed before this, we apologize, listeners. I noticed before the show we were popping out once in a while, so just hang with us. Monty Ball also had a good night, at least coming into his first game. So I want to remind our listeners, we've had problems from the beginning of the show before we actually turned on. We're cutting in and out, and again, it has to be a Blog Talk Radio situation. I'm not sure what it is, but Joe's working on it. Joe's working on it, so we'll see what happens. So, Joe, what, you didn't get to see the game. The game lasted till like midnight. I mean, what were you doing?
Well, I guess I just didn't realize that the game was still on. You know, we went to a seventh grade football game, then to high school volleyball game for a while, and you know, I guess I just knew it was on, but you know, got to make sure that the Twins have their homework done and stuff. And never in my wildest dreams did I realize that, you know, that it was going to go on. But you know, those lightning delays, it's just kind of the same way. I mean, you know, we deal with those with high school football last week. I know there were different communities that had to deal with that, and you know. And, you know, the Jasper-Southridge game was kind of a tale of two halves, you know, because of the lightning. I mean, you know, the first half, Jasper dominated. Second half, Southridge came back and, you know, and did a pretty good job, you know, tied it up 21-21. But Jasper was able to come back and win the game, so.
Yeah, and Joe, we just talked a little bit. I just mentioned to our listeners, you just cut out there for about 5 seconds. We're just having some technical difficulties, but as always, we're going to keep talking through them, and hopefully we'll get them ironed out with tech support here soon. We'll talk about that Jasper-Southridge game a little bit later on in the show. It was a good one. Southridge certainly proved their armor a little bit, and Jasper got taken to the goal line, nth degree, if you want to call it, and proved that they're a solid team, and we'll talk a little bit about that later in the show with Kurt Gooksell. If you are a U.S. Open tennis fan, defending champion Murray out, Federer out, and it looks like Djokovic and Nadal will end up, and not guaranteed, but it looks like it's going that way. If you are a Cards fan, you are saying ouch this morning. The Cardinals went into Cincinnati. And believe it or not, Reds fans, I don't get you. How can you not sell that stadium out or be close to selling that stadium out for every single one of those games? One night they tweeted on the Reds' Twitter, excited about having 20,000 there. 20,000? That should have been a sellout. This is playoff atmosphere going with the Cardinals. But the Reds did get the better of the Cardinals in that series. A big win last night. And puts them closer to the Cardinals and a little closer to first place. But also the Cardinals are going to be going back with some tail feathers missing. I don't know what to tell you, Cardinal fans, but you got to face the Pirates. Now, it's going to be good because you're facing them in St. Louis. But, you know, the Pirates have kind of righted the ship. They're playing better baseball. I am just very, very impressed with what the Pirates have been able to do. And I know that it's been 20-plus years since they've had a winning season, and they guaranteed that the other night. And you got to feel good about that organization. That organization, if you remember, in the 70s, the We Are Family, with those great teams in the 70s, some outstanding teams in the 80s, they brought on Bonds and Bonilla and some of those guys, Andy Van Slyke, before they all parted ways because of the money that the Pirates couldn't pay them. And now to see Clint Hurdle and the Pirates put this thing together, they're going to have a winning season. And right now they're holding tough in first place. And you got to feel good about the Pirates. And you got to feel good about the Reds right now. Cardinals, you're kind of getting this. You're kind of the sandwich cream between the Oreo cookies. You're going to have to really find some toughness coming back off the road and taking on the Pirates at home. But great job by the Reds to inch their way back up in the race. You know, they're sitting there, and they're in a great position. They're three games out. St. Louis is 1.5 out, and Pittsburgh holds the lead in that Central Division. The Yankees are still fighting to try to find their way into the wild card. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what Bud Selig's thinking at MLB. Probably a lot of different things. Wondering about if the Yankees get in. That'll be interesting to see. Also wanted to mention ESPN. Boy, yesterday, the last couple days, they have been on a roll talking about Johnny Football. And it's interesting. You know, the first couple weeks of the show, we talked about Johnny Football. And as Coach K eloquently mentioned, it was pretty obvious that the NCAA kind of mea culpa and quit doing their online jersey sales because ESPN was making a big deal. Here's the NCAA selling these jerseys, and then they're all over Johnny Manziel because they're making a profit on it, and then they're all over Johnny Manziel because he signs them and potentially could make some money off it. You know, I talked about that a couple weeks ago. I talked about that from the beginning of the show, that the NCAA was ridiculous, that the NCAA blaming Johnny Manziel as if he was some kind of criminal. When they were out there, they were being the pimp. They were being the drug dealer. They were putting the jerseys out there. People were coming up to Johnny Manziel. What's he supposed to do? You guys can say, well, you know, they get a college scholarship. I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that. Guy can go out and get a job and make $8, $9 an hour, $10 an hour, whatever they pay him. You know, he can sign some jerseys. The NCAA was selling them, making a profit. The universities are making a profit. It just comes back to what, I mean, ESPN's talking about it, but, you know, you heard it here on the Coach K and Joe show because
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers!
Coach K speaks the truth! Woo!
That's right. Coach K speaks the truth. So, ESPN, I'm glad you jumped on board with the Coach K and Joe show and started talking about the NCAA out there selling the jerseys and then wanting to come down on players for signing them. It's pretty ridiculous. Joe, how are you doing with tech support? We getting any progress on that?
I'm getting some questions asked, but I haven't gotten answers yet. So hopefully it does, because I don't know about on your end, but on my end, you're in most of the time, but you're out sometimes. So
yeah, I'm getting the same thing on my end when you were speaking earlier. I'm sure for some of our listeners, they may be happy that I'm in some and out others. But that's where we're at. We're still working on it, folks. But we're troopers, man. We never give up. We never quit. We keep on talking through it. A couple other things going on. Obviously, opening week of the NFL, weekend of the NFL. Last night, again, we talked about the Broncos handling the Ravens in the second half quite easily, I might add. Again, 7 TD passes by Peyton Manning, tying a record for most passes in a season in a game, with Joe Capp, 27-42 for 462 yards. How about this? Talking of the PED scandal, the PEDs, news is coming out of Milwaukee that the star, or quote, was the star, Ryan Braun of the Milwaukee Brewers, who was caught and this time suspended, and this time didn't lie about the being suspended, accepted the suspension for using performance-enhancing drugs. He's calling season ticket holders to apologize for the whole fiasco, for everything that's been going on. I wonder, is this kind of a behind-the-scenes deal? Hey, Ryan, you call these ticket holders and we'll pay you? We'll pay you some of your salary that you're forfeiting from being suspended through this year and next. But, yeah, that's coming out of Milwaukee. Ryan Braun is calling season ticket holders and apologizing for the mess that he was part of creating. Very, very interesting. Be interested, listeners, to know what you think about it. Is that something that you think is admirable? by Brewers Ryan Braun? Do you think it's admirable, gutsy, humble to get on the phone? Or is there something else going on? Is he getting some of his salary paid back to him that he lost from being suspended by making those calls? I'm not sure what it is. I'm sure it's a great PR move for him to get on the phone with Milwaukee Brewer fans and talk to him about apologize. I'm not sure what the conversation is. I'm not a season ticket holder. Who knows? I might have got a call on that. Well, we're going to go to break, and we're going to get on to something very, very, very important when we come back. We got Mike Pegram from Pegs.com. We're going to be talking Hoosier football and maybe bring up a little Hoosier basketball while we're at it. Won't get a long time with Pegs this week, but you know what? When you come back, we're going to be talking about the Hoosiers, and there's a lot going on as they take on Navy this weekend. We're going to break. You're listening, if you can hear us, to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar and Son Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Buddy, hold up, man. We're not talking to you. You keep going.
I want to tell you, man, I was sorry about having to practice today.
Don't be sorry.
Don't you understand, man? If you don't cool it out there, you're going to end up getting yourself killed.
If I cool it, I won't be helping you guys get ready for the next week's games. Got it?
I got it.
He's just a showboat, man. That's all he's about.
He's just doing his job, Jamie. Can't it?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we've got with us he's just one of the best in Indiana when it comes to IU sports, everything IU sports, and that's Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Michael, great to have you again on the Coach K and Joe Show.
Fun to be back here, Coach.
Well, Mike, I'll tell you what, I might, our audio's kind of knocking in and out, so if I pop out on you, just kind of hang with me and I will do the same. IU had a big, I think it was a big win against Indiana State. And not because it was against Indiana State, but because the Hoosiers came out and did what I thought they should have done. They took care of business. The guys that needed to show what they're capable of doing got that done. And I got to believe that helped everybody going into this preparation week for Navy.
Yeah, I'm having trouble hearing. Hello?
I'm sorry, Mike. We're having some audio difficulties. The preparation week for the Hoosiers going into Navy, triple option. Are the Hoosiers defensively mature enough and ready to handle some of the intricacies of this offense?
Well, they did get back most of their starters from last year. And they've had the opportunity to play Navy a year ago and get that firsthand experience. And they've spent a lot of time in August camp preparing for the option. I think one of the players told us they worked on it every day for 3 weeks, you know, at least a few minutes in August camp. So, I think they're better prepared for it. I think they have a better linebacking core than they did a year ago, and that'll help them quite a bit against that kind of unique offense. So, I do expect that they'll do a little bit better job. And they did give up 35 against Indiana State, but two of those were turnover touchdowns, not attributable to the defense. So, I do think they're a little bit better prepared, and then they can score a lot. They can score some points, obviously, against Navy. They did it last year, and Navy does have some issues on defense that they might be able to exploit.
Mike, I wonder, is Coach Wilson, is he looking at the quarterback situation? I've got a text message here from John and Vincennes, and he wonders, are the Hoosiers going to play multiple quarterbacks throughout the season, or are we just getting to the point where Coach Wilson is just trying to make that decision on who leads the Hoosiers on offense?
Yeah, with the quarterbacks, I don't know if I can't hear you, but I don't expect them to play three quarterbacks regularly like they did against Indiana State. That was a function, I think, of the score of the game. But I do believe that for the next couple games or the next game or two, they will play both Trey Roberson and Nate Sudfeld quite a bit, and maybe one of them steps up and plays really well, they go more with that guy. But right now, they're kind of opposite kind of quarterbacks, and they both played well. And I think in the opener, and you kind of go with at least both of those until one of them kind of steps up and outplays the other. But they may stick with both of them at times, though, anyway, because they are such opposites. They bring different things to the table. And it gives them a defensive different look. So maybe even if one of them becomes more of the regular guy, that you'll see both of them in each game.
You know, the one thing as I look at this Navy game, you know, last year we stubbed our toe against this Navy team. I don't think, obviously, we're the same team as we were last year. I think we're much more mature. I think we much more have an understanding of what we need to do. Do you see this game, if the Hoosiers are to win, is this going to be something the defense has to do for us, or is this, again, we're going to rely on the offense?
No, I think it's a game the defense has to show some significant improvement against a tremendous rushing opponent. Like I said, the Indiana State game was a great sign because a year ago the Hoosiers only won by 7 points, and last Thursday they won by nearly 40, and obviously could have been more if they hadn't given up those two free touchdowns on the turnovers. So there is already an early sign about this being a much more mature Indiana team than the one that went to Navy last year and led 30-21, with 6 or 7 minutes left in the game and just kind of collapsed late, which was kind of a characteristic of last year's team. We'll wait and see if it becomes characteristic of this year's team, but a younger, less experienced team did have that game almost won in on the road last year at Annapolis.
Yeah, I was in Bloomington listening to the game, actually, and was just so disappointed when we let that thing slip away. But this is another one of those games in these first five games that we really need to pick up if we're going to go to a bowl and especially a decent bowl. Mike, I'm going to switch you over to basketball real quick. I've got a number of text messages the last couple weeks. The Hoosiers recruiting closets are bare right now. What's the story? And should Hoosier fans be nervous or just be patient?
Well, sometimes recruiting falls together late or comes together late, and it's been unusual that Indiana does not have a commitment right now. But I think we do expect that they will at least land a couple really outstanding players because they are involved with kids that we, at Peaks.com believe that Indiana sits in the top two or three, and they're in the middle of the official visit kind of calendar where they had Robert Johnson in from Virginia, who moved up to number 42 in the nation in our latest Rivals.com rankings, and Indiana may sit at the top with him. They're in great shape with Good Luck Okonowo, AU teammate of Noah Vonleh, and Good Luck is, you know, a top 40 level player, a tremendous athlete for power forward, and they have I think Devin Robinson, a five-star player coming in for Hoosier Hysteria, and probably Isaiah Whitehead too, one of the top 15 players in the country coming in for Hoosier Hysteria. So it's just coming together late, and I think, you know, there's a lot of things in the fire, and a couple of the fish will bite here late, I believe, and they'll end up with at least a couple good players and maybe more.
Mike, is there a concern with some of these recruits that maybe Indiana has too much depth at some of these positions on the hardwood floor, and they're not sure they want to commit because they're not sure where they fit in? Or is this just a case of these are good players and they're being recruited by all the top schools and they're just being patient and making their choice?
Yeah, you cut out a little bit, but I'll try to follow up. But I think what you're leading on, I think that maybe with some of, and I do think they would like to add a point guard in this class, somebody to handle the ball, but you got Yogi Ferrell there who really established himself as a starter from the get-go and still has, you know, a couple more years after this season. So that may have made it a little bit difficult to find a ball handler. But I don't think that the depth, I think it's just sometimes personalities and the way classes come together. Inside Indiana, you might have seen some issues with James Blackman committing early and they may be scaring away some shooting guards. Maybe it didn't help them with Trevon Blue, who just committed to UCLA and kind of set in motion things of a kid looking elsewhere. But, it just didn't work out with some of the kids in Indiana like it often does, and that kind of sends you up with out-of-state players who will tend to take their time and wait till they make their fall visits, and so you end up with the decisions right before signing day.
Well, it sounds pretty intense right now, and I know a lot of IU fans, or especially the basketball people, are just really watching intently. October 4th is a big weekend coming up, especially for Mike Pegram and Pegs.com. You've got your golf outing.
Yeah. Yeah, and we still have spots. We're playing at the Otter Creek course, one of the best courses, public courses in the country, one of the best courses in Indiana. So, I've got some information on our front page. It's available for subscribers or non-subscribers, anybody who really wants to enjoy a fall day, you know, before the weather gets cold, get out and play some golf. And then later that night is Hoosier Hysteria, and the next day is the Penn State Big Ten opener at Memorial Stadium. So it's a big weekend all around for us. And it's going to be a busy time as we, you know, get going here in the fall. And it should be some fun coverage.
So the real question is on that weekend, leading up to that weekend, what's the most important thing going on in Bloomington? Is it the Hoosier Hysteria? Is it the football game? Or is it the Pegs.com golf outing?
Well, if you ask our fans, it'll be Hoosier Hysteria. But it might be the football game if they're undefeated coming into that Big Ten game. I mean, if they're 4-0, Indiana's 4-0, Penn State, I don't think was terribly impressive in their opener. So for Indiana to have a chance to be 5-0 would be a big deal. I don't know if it'll be bigger than five-star recruits at Hoosier Hysteria, but it probably should be.
Well, you know, I'll be up there, hopefully, and I'm still planning on, Joe and I are trying to get our being able to come to that golf outing and sign up, but I'll be up there this weekend tailgating. I tailgate right behind McNutt in the field across the road. Coach K and will be there tailgating, and I definitely think if the Hoosiers keep it going, that Penn State game could be very winnable.
Yeah, it's surprising what you can do with momentum, especially in the game of football, if they get that going, and they'll have the crowd pumped, and it'll be a really great atmosphere for that kind of upset.
Well, I want to remind our listeners, go to Pegs.com, join the site, get on there, find out everything about IU basketball, baseball, football, whatever it is IU. Pegs has got it, not just for this year, for 2014, 15, 16, you name it, it's there. Always a pleasure talking to you, Mike. thanks for coming on, and let's hope for a Hoosier victory against Navy this weekend.
Look forward to the game. Thanks, Coach. Take care.
All right, you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show. When we come back, we will have Chris Goodman. We're talking SIAC football, and I'm hoping the audio situation gets better for me and Chris. But you know Coach K, he's going to keep on talking. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Ubelar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles. Cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories. And they're all priced to sell. Some are certified and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Yep.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
I gotta work on my game.
No. Don't think of it as work. The whole point is just to enjoy yourself.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
We're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and just to, for our listeners, before we talk with Chris Goodman, the goody man here, we are experiencing some technical difficulties. Our tech host says that the people listening can hear everything we say, but the hosts are the audio's dropping in and out, and they're working on that situation. I have had a couple of text messages from listeners that say they can hear everything. So, Chris, as we get rolling on SIAC, don't say anything out loud because you think we're off air, but you don't want anybody to hear.
Okay, I'll try not to do that. That's the general rule of thumb in broadcasting anyway. When you have a mic on, in this case it's a phone, you know, you don't say the wrong words. I don't know what those wrong words would be, maybe like Patriots or something this time of year.
Hey, that was, I don't know if you got to see the game, but that was a heck of a showing by Peyton Manning last night with the Broncos. I told Joe at the beginning of the show, my arm was sore from just watching him.
Yeah, I was watching, and I was kind of wondering if it was Peyton Manning, the best performance of his life, or just a complete collapse of the Baltimore defense. I mean, I just cannot believe and can't fathom that he put up 7 touchdowns. Somebody in fantasy football got completely burnt by that.
Oh, hugely, hugely. But it was an outstanding offensive performance by the Broncos after halftime. The Ravens just seemed to struggle. But you know what? It's so, you know, one game does not a season make, especially in the NFL. And I'm sure that regardless of what anybody thinks, either side of the ball, if they get an opportunity to meet up later on, it'll be a heck of a shootout. Chris, let's talk some SIAC football. We're a couple weeks into the season. It's really going, as far as I was concerned, about the way that I thought it would, except for Castle just getting blown out up at Lucas Oil Stadium. But overall, we've got a SIAC conference, Central and Mater Dei undefeated, Harrison with a win, Castle 1-1, Bossy offensively a juggernaut through the first two games, 1-1, North 1-1, Wright's 1-1, and Memorial a little undersized and breaking in a new quarterback after first game quarterback Will Dirkles was injured. What can you tell us about the SIAC and where we're at this point?
Boy, you know, it's about the same story every time this year, or every time of year. It seems like, you know, some team is going to surface. Modern Day certainly looks like they're the team to beat right now. They're 2-0. They got a couple of good wins. They beat Heritage Hills 37-14. And you know, you look at some teams like Memorial, you know, they lost to Jasper and Belleville, but John Hurley's troops, they just always seem to rally towards the middle of the season. You got Central that's 2-0, and you talked about Bossy being a juggernaut. Central's got 121 points in two games. Bossy's got 110 points in two games. Those guys are averaging 60, 55 points a game. So I can only imagine what's going to happen tonight when those two teams meet. And then you get Castle and Wrights, both lost their openers, and now they bounce back playing each other tonight. Somebody's going to be 1-2, and you don't say that often about a Castle or a Wrights team. So it's kind of upside down. It's kind of hard to judge right now at this point. But I think by the fourth or fifth week, we should have a pretty good idea of who's going to probably be the SIC champs.
Yeah, and speaking of matchups, we're talking about the juggernaut Central and Bossy, and then you got Bossy at Central tonight. So both offenses will be on display. The question is, whose defense is going to show up, Chris?
You know, a betting man probably in the past would say that the Central Bears probably will get more stops. They're at home. They've handled Bossy fairly well over the past couple of years, even though some of those games have been high scoring. But, you know, like I said, 66 and 55 points for Central and two wins over North Oldham and Paoli. Then you got Bossy. They scored 48 in a loss, then 62 last week against Washington. So, I don't know. Both those teams have a lot of offensive weapons. Bossy's got a couple of good running backs, Carrington Crutcher, Arius Carter. Central's got a good running back coming back. I mean, they've got loads of talent, I think, on both of those teams. And I think it's a good chance for either of those teams to have a pretty good year, particularly Bossy, because it's been a while. And Andre Thomas is certainly kind of had a hole to climb out of, taking over there. But I think the Bulldogs are showing some rapid signs of improvement. And obviously, they've got a lot of talent on that field as well.
Well, again, we probably knocked out a little bit. I hope you can hear me, Chris. Can you hear me right now?
Uh-huh, yeah, you're cutting in and out a little bit, but I'm catching most of what you're saying. It's easy to read you anyway, right? That's what the opposing coaches always said, right?
Yeah, you know, you got it. When you look at the SIAC leaders for this Bossy Central matchup, the passing leader in the SIAC is Ian Nunley from Bossy. The rushing leaders in the SIAC, Fuchs from Central, Sullivan from Central, and then right behind him is Crutcher from Bossy. What about this quarterback at Bossy? 500 yards through the first couple games, not bad. Usually we talk about speed and quickness in the backfield, but they're throwing the ball. Thomas has got that team throwing the ball a little bit.
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the things that Bossy needs to do. They've tried in the past to rely on just the run without having to throw it consistently. And they've had a couple of good quarterbacks that have been there at the helm. One guy that plays basketball over there at Southern Illinois now is a pretty good athlete for them. And I'm at a loss right now for his name, but I know he was a terrific player and played basketball and then played football. But Ian Nunley is sort of taking this team on his back, and this offense has become like maybe two-phase. Instead of just being a run only, they got the pass, they got the run, so they're a lot more diversified than we've probably seen in the past.
Yeah, it should be fun out at Central Stadium to see these two explosive offenses hook up. And we're not saying, those who follow the SIAC or who are in the area, we're not saying these are great teams yet on both sides of the ball, but they can score points, and a fan in the stand usually has a lot of fun when they see teams put points up. Another big game tonight is Wrights and Castle. And a special event going on at Castle. They're going to honor a legend of the game.
Yeah, John Leidy, the former coach, just a tremendous guy, and I know from interviewing him over the past couple of years, he was probably one of the most accommodating coaches. When it comes to accommodating coaches, I would probably rank he and Jerry Brewer right up there at the top. There's been Coach McIntosh when he was at South Spencer. I mean, some of those guys are just so welcoming, and then from a media standpoint, and that's kind of what I know because that's what I dealt with, you know, when I was working for all the TV stations and doing sports on a regular basis. I got to go interview those guys, but Coach Leidy was just an absolute media favorite. I mean, the guy was always welcoming. You could show up during practice. It wasn't, you know, hey, get here at 2:30 or you're out. You're not going to get any interviews. It was like, hey, Chris, what can I do for you? And I've got some good stories, some I can't repeat on the air, some funny things that he said to me over the years. And he's just a great guy. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer coach, and I think that certainly deserving tonight what's going to happen at Castle.
You know, they're going to name the field after him, and he was one of the innovative coaches on the high school level, at least in southern Indiana. You know, Indiana football, high school football, really was behind if you looked at Ohio and Illinois and some of the different states. But he and Coach Brewer and some of the other coaches really ramped it up, year-round weightlifting. Not only did he win a state championship in 3A, but he was, you know, one of those coaches that was able to break through on the 5A level, and it's tough to do for Southern Indiana teams to win on that highest level because of the size of schools in the Indianapolis area, and that continues to be the case. 209 and 112 in 30 years. He just took a program and built it from the bottom up.
Right, and you know, and I think that, you know, my office is in Newburgh, so, you know, I hear a lot about Castle, and I do insurance now, and I insure some people that played at Castle or went to Castle around those teams, and they still talk about those state championships. You don't know how important those state titles are until you really start talking to people that actually went through it, were there, and experienced that. And, of course, when John Leidy won, you know, that state title, and you look back to 1994 and 5A, like you were saying, it just means so much to the community. And even though, you know, we're approaching the 20-year anniversary of that, it still it means a whole lot, you know, because you do it in 5A and people remember that. And that was probably one of the better memories people probably have, you know, as a child or even as a young adult back then.
Yeah, he just had a storied career. He's a Hall of Famer. It's a great honor for him and for the Castle program in general. Guy who student taught under the great Coach Byers out at Wright. I mean, when you're surrounded by good people and when you learn under good people, if you're paying attention, if you're humble enough to take it in, you take those traits on, and Coach Leidy absolutely has done that. And Coach Hurt has come in, and he was under that regime, and he's doing the same thing for Castle football right now.
Yeah, Doug Ertz doing a wonderful job. And, you know, he's implemented a lot more pass than Coach Leidy was kind of a run first, ask questions later type coach. And we saw some of the linemen and some of the people that he had then. And I think Kurt has a little more, some of his linemen, not to say they aren't big necessarily, but they definitely are more of a passing block. Now, they've kind of evolved into a running team this year with Kristen Peach and a new quarterback, losing a great quarterback last season. So it's kind of a different mindset. But I think the world of Coach Hurt, and I think he's doing a tremendous job, and my guess is that's his job until he wants to retire.
And on the other side of the field, we have Wrights. They're under a new coach. And what do we make of the Wrights Panthers at this point in the season?
You know, the loss to Henderson, I think the Colonels are just pretty tough. You know, they beat North, they beat Wrights. And I don't think you can take away a whole lot from that loss. I think they have a new quarterback that's pretty good, Austin Reagan. He's got just wonderful receivers, Jordan Summers, Malik Higgins, those guys. We did our first home team game of the week, and we did the Wrights-Henderson game. And they have a bunch of offense. They have a pretty good defense. I think that Wrights could rise to the cream of the crop, by the end of the season in the SIAC if they continue to grow and if they continue to get better. They've got some good running backs. They've got a lot of typical Wrights. I mean, they've got a lot of good players that you would expect. Now, as for tonight's game, Castle Wrights, I mean, who knows? You kind of throw out the records when those two guys play because they're fierce rivals. It's been wonderful games the past couple of years. Usually they're not 1-1, and usually you don't see one of these teams going to 1-2 after three games in the season. But I guess that's just the case this year. But that certainly probably won't be the case in future years.
Yeah, and you look at that, and you – I mean, for me, Chris, as I watch this season unfold, I know who the top teams are, but they're not like the top teams we've seen in the past few years, although Mater Dei looks to be awfully tough. And Harrison, who is, you know, they've got a new attitude, a new coach. They're working hard. They've improved. They started out the season with a win. It wasn't it wasn't by a lot of points or anything like that, but they got to win. But, boy, modern day is going to be awfully tough to handle.
Yeah, and I think modern day has so many, like, skill players, like a Jacob Fleming, who's a wide receiver, also doubles as a kicker. He kicked that long field goal against North Posey to beat a very good Vikings team last year. They've got a lot of people that I think can play offense and defense, which is obviously the key to being a good football team. And when you beat a Heritage Hills team 37-14 in your opener and then bounce back with another win 42-6, you kind of get the feel that modern day might have one of those years. And maybe they don't go through the SIAC unscathed. Maybe they lose a couple of games. Obviously, Wrights and Castle are going to be tough games for them. Central's probably going to be tough. But you think about the fact that they're in 2A, they're playing this kind of competition, and once they get to the state level, who's going to knock them off? You know, some of the teams that have knocked them off in the past are not necessarily as good this year. North Posey's probably not going to be as good. I think they're a decent football team, but probably not as strong as they were. Now, Southridge might be an obstacle, you know, once we get to that point. But, of course, there's a lot of football to play between now and then.
Yeah, and Southridge will present them at least a good battle as far as that class system. But, you know, modern day is just so tested and so well coached. And I think there's a mental aspect of modern day, just from the tradition and the feeling that we can go out and play with the top teams, at least in the southern part of the state, the middle part of the state. I think that just carries on through the grade system. And I think it's a big deal. I've always thought the emotional mental part was a big deal. Another game, we've got North and Memorial squaring off at Enloe tonight. Memorial 0-2. They played some good teams, Jasper and Belleville, both good quality football teams. Belleville had a lot of good athletes. Memorial may be a little undersized. Their starting quarterback, at least as the season started, has got hurt. But this Shesley has come in, a junior quarterback, and played very well as far as statistically against Belleville, but 16 yards rushing against Belleville, that's a tough night, and they just cannot continue to do that on the offensive side of the ball.
No, I think that's true, too, and I think McKinley Warren's one of those type of running backs. You got to give him enough carries to have him make those explosive plays. He's a young player. They've got a young offensive line. I think we talked about this toward the end of last year and maybe earlier this year, but they've got a little bit of an experience on the offensive line, so that's going to come together for them, and I think once it does, I think it's going to be a much better football team. I anticipate a pretty close football game tonight between those two. I really think, even though North had a close loss to Henderson, they're 1-1, I think that game could be every bit of somebody scores in the fourth quarter to win it.
Yeah, I think that the North-Memorial matchup probably should be at least a fun matchup for the fans as far as back and forth. Again, I just think Memorial's a little small on that offensive line, a defensive line as well, and it's just whether North, under their new coach, has got things going as far as what they need to do against city competition. But they do have a victory under their belt, and they did lose a close game to a good Henderson. I believe it was Henderson County.
Yes, 16-13, I think, was the score. And I think Henderson had his score late, so that kind of shows you what kind of defense North has. And I saw the Henderson offense against Wright, and they really cranked it up in the second half. So, you know, it's hard to know, you know, this early in the season, if North's defense is really that tough, or maybe Henderson just struggled a little. But if it is that tough, then Memorial may have a tough road tonight playing against North if their defense is that good. They've lost to Jasper and Belleville by a combined 51 points. And as you said, they're both two pretty good teams. But, you know, what do you do if you're John Hurley? You start off the season, you go to Jasper. I think they were up 19-0, something to that effect. Ended up losing, obviously, by double digits. I mean, it looked like the season was going to start off really well, and now you're 0-2. But this is kind of typical. This is kind of the way Memorial starts off the season. And for the folks that have watched them throughout the years, they don't always have an over 500 record going into the playoffs, but that's kind of whether they can make some noise in Class 3A.
Yeah, and as we get a little bit further into the season, we'll talk a little bit about the Class 3A, how it looks overall around the state, and where we think some of our teams match up in all the classes. Chris, what do you got on the docket this weekend as far as football games, and who can we see on tape delay?
We are actually heading over to Boonville, Jasper at Boonville. I know a game that you guys are pretty familiar with, so I'm pretty excited. I think last year we did that game, and Jasper won 49-0 at actually, I take that back. I think we did Jasper Mount Vernon, but I know last year Jasper did beat Boonville 49-0, and that was up there. So I'm looking forward to the game, and I think James Blankenship will have his team ready. Can they beat Jasper? Jasper's won, I think, 9 games in a row. The last time Boonville won was, I think, all the way back in 2004 in the sectionals when they won an 11-8 game. So it's been a long time coming for the Pioneers. It's going to be a very tough game to win against Coach Aarons and company, because I know Jasper will come in and they will be very prepared and they will run the ball like they always do. And I'm looking forward to a pretty good game, though. I'm hoping it's good, and I'll be up sweating in the press box over there in Boonville.
I'll tell you what, Chris, if people want to tune in, and they should, they want to tune in and see that game on tape delay, where can they pick that up at?
You can check it out on Local 7 tomorrow. I believe it's at 7 o'clock, so it'll be on Local 7, which I guess is on different channels depending on which cable station you have. But it's our home team game of the week, and it should be a good game. I'm excited to see the Wildcats as usual, and always excited to see the Pioneers.
And as always, Chris, we love having you. It's good to have the Goodman, and if you're looking for insurance, stop over in Newburgh and see Chris Goodman at his office. Once again, thanks a lot, Chris, for everything. And if you want to know about high school football and the SIAC and basketball coming up, you got to listen to the Coach K and Joe Show, because Chris Goodman will let us know all about it.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right, sorry for the audio problems, Chris. We'll talk to you next week. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Steve Kolb, and we'll be talking a little PAC, focusing on Heritage Hills and South Spencer. Joe will be joining us to get in on that conversation. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar and Son Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Tomorrow, after the game, I, Jackie Moon, will wrestle a bear.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K. Ken Schulteis, and we now have WAXL play-by-play man for the Heritage Hills Patriots and South Spencer Rebels, Steve Kolb. Steve, how you doing today?
I'm good, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I want to apologize right away. We're at Blog Talk Radio. Our host is having some problems, so we might cut in and out every once in a while, but our stream, they can hear us, so just continue to talk and help us out here. we're having a very stressful day.
Well,
but, we wanted to talk to you
about
the Patriots and the Rebels.
When it comes
and,
to continuing to talk, Steve, just jump right in anytime.
Okay, guys. I'm sorry, Joe. I kind of missed your question there.
It's Steve, this is Coach K. Can you hear me right now?
I can hear you now, Coach. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry about all this, but I'm a yeoman. I just keep going. I just keep walking the walk and talking the talk. Hey, let's talk a little bit about Heritage Hills to start out. Here's a great program over the decades, and we're under a new system, new coach. I'm not sure how much of a new system. Struggled a little bit last year. Have started out 0-2. How are the Patriot fans feeling right now, and how's Coach feeling about the direction of this team?
Oh, you know, certainly the fans are frustrated. Nobody likes being 0-2, and I know the coaches and players frustrated. They don't want to be 0-2, but you know, it's not the end of the world. And you know, one of the differences between now and 5-10 years ago is these are two very good teams they opened with. Obviously, modern day, open within the last 2 years, and that's a tough challenge on anybody to open against the kind of precision and ability and the ability to play make mistake-free football that Coach Gable has his guys playing from day one. That's always been what surprised me. Lots of teams can do that by week 8, week 9, and into the postseason, but he has his guys doing that in week 1 every year, and it's impressive, and they're very talented. And you know, that was a game that was – it was very much a game. It was tied at 14 with less than a minute to go in the first half. Heritage Hills had the ball driving for what looked like was going to be a go-ahead score, and the young sophomore filling in at quarterback through a pick six that changed the momentum of that game. Modern Day scored on the first possession of the second half and was off to the races, and that turned into what looked like more of a blowout than it actually was. And then a very good – Tell City team, and let's face it, they were hungry to get a little revenge on the Patriots, and they got it with a 16-13 win on their home field last week. So, it's not the end of the world. It's certainly not what the Patriots wanted, and they've gone back to work this week, and they'll try to right the ship. They will get their veteran quarterback back at some point, Logan Wilkerson, who's been out thus far. He tore an ACL back in basketball season. He says he feels good. He looks pretty good, but he hasn't been released by the doctor yet. At least the last time I had talked to him, he hadn't, and that was back prior to game one. So, and he obviously hasn't played in the first 2 weeks. So they'll get him back at some point. If they know when, they're not saying, and I certainly don't know. But they'll get him back at some point. And, you know, the youngster, Caleb Molzer, has done a good job, but his leadership and veteran presence will certainly help this team if and when they can get him back.
You know, the Heritage Hills Tell City game was just really, I don't know, it was a surprise to me. It shouldn't be, because Tell City's got a great history of football, but they haven't in the past decade. And so what a big win for Tell City's program. But on the other side, Heritage Hills, those kids, if they went into that game at all saying, well, we played a great modern day team, we got Tell City, we'll be fine, we can relax, they got a big wake-up call. And it's proof to any team on any given night, especially a hungry team like Tell City was under Coach George. This was a huge win for that Tell City program. And I know as a coach, I hated when my opponent had a huge win against my basketball team when it was a game that really shouldn't have gone that way. So I think it was like it had to be a huge wake up for the leadership, at least on the field, for those Heritage Hills Patriots. And they're probably still eating pretzels and drinking, and not the younger people, drinking beer in Tell City over this one.
I don't doubt that at all. But I would be very surprised if the Heritage Hills players went into that expecting an easy game, because these kids know each other. Heritage Hills, I've always said, sits in a unique situation in that they are border rivals with 5, 6, 7 different school corporations. These kids know each other. They grew up playing against each other in different sports, and people in this area have seen this coming with Tell City for a while. They've got a good young coach in Ryan George, whose family has been part of the great success of that program over the years. And so he knows what winning over there is all about. And he's had these kids now, it's his third season, and this group was sophomores when he started. this group of seniors that's 20-some-odd strong for Tulsa that he's been playing varsity football since, a lot of them, since they were freshmen. They were really thrown to the fire that year because there wasn't a lot ahead of them. So they're good kids. They're good athletes. They're good football players. We've seen this coming. We knew this was going to be a good Tulsa City team this year. If you believe the Tulsa City people in the paper, they think they won because they wore Heritage Hills out. And that is one of the issues for Heritage Hills this year is depth. There's only 35 kids on the roster, sophomore through senior, and that's not a lot by any means for a 3A program, but they've never had great numbers on the roster at Heritage Hills. Lots of guys have always been asked to play both ways and play a lot of snaps both ways, and that's no different this year. So the Patriots are going to – and that's not going to change. You're not going to have 10, 15 new guys come stepping onto the field and help you out starting in week three. So they're going to have to figure it out. They're going to have to figure ways to finish football games because the guys that are playing are the guys that are going to be playing all season long, and they're going to have to figure out how to finish games and finish victories like that because they had a second-half lead and couldn't hold it against a good Tell City team.
Well, I think you bring up a good point, and that's a point of that I had on my question was the depth situation, and you answered that perfectly, Steve. And I know that Heritage Hills will find its way. They have played two good teams. One we know is just an outstanding team in the state in modern day, and one that definitely has surprised, yet it has surprised people outside of the area in Tell City because they just haven't had a lot of success. But as Coach George said, it was great to come to practice and see cars in the parking lot and not bicycles and scooters. So he's had a team that's grown up and a mature football team, and they'll make some noise in the PAC.
I think they will, and I think that's another thing. The PAC, I don't know if at the top it's better or as good or any of that, and I'll never try to make that argument one way or the other. I think the one thing about the PAC is maybe it's deeper because I don't think Heritage Hills is bad, and I don't think that South Spencer is bad, but right now there are teams playing better football than they are in the PAC and playing, you know, quite a bit better in a couple of cases. Gibson Southern's very good. I think Southridge is very good. I think Tell City is good. I'll get a chance to see tonight just how good the Marksmen are. I'm excited to see them over at South Spencer with the Rebels home opener. So and North Posey isn't bad. So it's going to be an interesting year in the PAC. There are a lot of teams that can beat anybody else in the conference on a given night.
See, I agree with you, and I think Heritage Hills will find its way. It's a proud program, and it's a great school and a great area to live in. Let's jump over to those South Spencer Rebels, talk a little bit about them. One of the first things I'd like to just pick your brain on is they went and played Gibson Southern. Man, this Gibson Southern program, you know, a lot of these kids graduated. They look pretty solid again this year.
Yeah, and that's another one that people have seen coming. Gibson Southern's had incredible success in the feeder system, the middle school and younger grades, playing a lot of travel football and just been blowing doors off people in upper grade school and middle school areas and freshmen. And so those guys are into the varsity program, a lot of them now, they have great numbers in that program. They've got a good coaching staff over there with Coach Hart and his guys. And they do have a good number of guys that played last year, maybe not the skill guys as much, but a lot of that line. And that was where I was really impressed with Gibson Southern. I knew that team was big. They average around 260, 270 pounds along the offensive and defensive line. They may actually be bigger than that on defense, but they're a very big line, and they're not overweight guys. They're guys that are 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", that can handle that kind of weight and size on their frame and still be agile and mobile. And they were just blowing lines, blowing holes in the line all night long for those running backs. The skill guys at Gibson Southern are good. Now, the two guys they had last year, and their quarterback, Jordan Scheller, and their running back, David Anguish, it was one of the best, most dynamic pairs in the backfield I've seen in PAC in a long time, because either one of those were a threat to go the distance every time they touched the ball with just the slightest of a seam, because they just were extremely fast, strong, and athletic. Now, I'm not sure that anybody, at least right now, is quite at that threat level for Gibson Southern in the backfield, but when you are 10 yards down the field facing a safety one-on-one for your first look at the defense, seven, eight, nine times a game, you can get some things done. And that's what Gibson Southern was able to do to South Spencer last week. And I don't think this is a terrible South Spencer defense. They've got some guys over there that are experienced. They've got some size and you know, some guys that know how to play the game and play with some heart on that side of the ball. I think they were just up against a very good offensive line and a very good Gibson Southern offense that knew how to exploit the advantages they have.
Yeah, and South Spencer's 1-1 on the season, and it looks like they played a really, really good Gibson Southern team. Here's a program that's always had good, solid success. They seem to get better as the year goes on. The school in general, they're coming off a great run in baseball. Tell us a little bit about this South Spencer team.
Well, under a first-year head coach, Tom Packer takes over for Coach Fisher, Jason Fisher, who had had the helm for 2 years. He had been an assistant, took over as head coach, and now Tom Packer has his shot. And Coach Packer has been involved with the football program at South Spencer for years and years. He's been an assistant for Coach Fisher and then Coach Green before him and Coach McIntosh before him, and I think maybe even one more. So he's been around the players and the administration, and everybody knows him. He knows how to be a head coach because he's run the wrestling program at South Spencer for years. So it's not been a big turnover from that standpoint. I think it's been pretty seamless from that standpoint. He's a defensive-oriented guy, and that's kind of always been South Spencer's mantra over the years, that they're going to play good, solid defense, try to score just enough to beat you, and be a very physical football team for a Class 2A team. And they're continuing to try to do that because all four of those previous head coaches I mentioned, those are all defensive-oriented guys at heart. And so they're trying to get back to that a little bit. Numbers are a little better. I think where South Spencer has an advantage maybe on the outside, they've got some receivers and some returners with excellent athleticism and speed. I don't know exactly what they're averaging on kick returns, but I know against Gibson Southern they had four kick returns of over 20 yards, one of 59, one of 37. They had a long kickoff return for a touchdown against North Posey that essentially was the winner against the Vikings in week one. So when they get out into open space this season, they've got some guys that can really burn, and they've got a couple of veteran guys that can run the football inside. Again, they just they're a team that when they don't make mistakes and plays their style of football, they can hang with people and they can play with anybody. I'm not sure, and this may be the case with Heritage Hills too, I'm not sure they have a great margin for error when they make mistakes. They need to play fairly close to mistake-free, but there's certainly talent there, and they have the ability – and they have the ability to play with and beat Tell City. Whether they do tonight, it remains to be seen. But I think it'll be a good game over in Rio tonight with the Rebels and Marksman. And, South Spencer actually played with Gibson Southern for most of that first half, was down 14-0 and with less than 2 minutes to go in the half, gave up a touchdown and had a punt block return for a touchdown in the final 45 seconds of the half. It took what was a 14-0 game up to 27-0. And then Gibson opened the second half of the score, and kind of like my game the previous week, what was a close game was a blowout in just a matter of game minutes. But so South Spencer has to avoid those kind of mistakes. But I like what Coach Packer's doing, and I like the direction the South Spencer program's going in. They've got some players, and just need to put the four quarters together and play fairly mistake-free football.
Well, it's always the little things. Whether you're a first-year head coach starting your program or you've been there a long time, it's those little bitty things. And it always seems to make the big things stand out with the big play or the outstanding player. But it's those little things in the trenches, whether especially on the lines in football. You've got to block. You've got to do the things. You've got to pull the correct way. You got to make things happen for the offense or to shut down the offense. But, Steve, great stuff. I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you. I'm looking forward to following this PAC conference. I want to see if this Tell City team continues to come forward and play the way. I want to see Gibson Southern, if this is a high-octane team, their defense has only given up 13 points. I want to see Heritage Hills come along because they played good competition to start. And again, South Spencer as well. And I think it's going to be a great conference. I hope you'll be with us several times this year to keep us up to date on what's going on in the PAC.
Absolutely. Anytime you ask, I'll be here. And it's great to talk to you guys again. And yeah, South Spencer, one other thing I wanted to mention on them, they're in the midst of a very tough stretch in their schedule here. They opened up on the road at Posey and Gibson, home with Tell City, and then they go to Owensboro Catholic, who's the class of Davis County in Kentucky, and always a top 10 team in their class, and then they come home with Southridge. So that's a very tough way to open the schedule if you're South Spencer. We'll see how they come through that really, really rough stretch of football games.
Well, that's one thing you know, the PAC conference, they're not afraid to play good competition. So thanks for being on, Steve. I think we're having some audio problems. We're going to go to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Anytime, guys.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
A monkey's might fly out of my butt.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and folks, my understanding is from people texting in, and I appreciate you letting us know that if you're listening to streaming, you can hear everything and it's fine. We have just a little technical difficulty on this side because for the hosts of the show, it's cutting in and out. So I want to apologize to our listeners if I've jumped on top of one of our guests when they're speaking or vice versa. We're doing the very best we can. The great thing is Joe can hardly hear anything, so... Joe, I don't know if you can hear me right now, but it's been great because you haven't been able to participate at all. But we're probably going to end the show a little bit early, but right now I just want to touch on some things before we do that. College football is going strong. Of course, the Hoosiers had a big win against Indiana State. And I know you folks are out there that are anti-Indiana State. That's not a big win. Yes, it is. It's a big win because the Hoosiers did what they needed to do. It's a big win because the quarterbacks performed the way they're supposed to perform. The defense stepped up in key situations and showed that they can play this game. Is there another step? Yes. This weekend against Navy. And Coach K and contributor from Indianapolis, Don Schulteis, will be up there at the Hoosier game, watching the Hoosiers. I don't know. I may be listening to the Hoosiers and Don Fisher. I may be tailgating the whole time. I'm not sure. But we're up in the corner section across from McNutt Dorm, and that's where we set up shop. But it was a big win. On the other side, you had a new coach and a new program, much the way the Hoosiers were last year, Coach Hazel and Purdue. And they went into Cincinnati and Coach Tommy Tuberville. And it was a tough game for Purdue. And I think most of us knew that it would be. Joe kind of held out because they had cold beer there that they might win. But they didn't win. And they're going to struggle this year. Their quarterback, Henry, he just did not play well. But again, Cincinnati, I can't fault Purdue. And Purdue, I give you credit. You weren't afraid to open up with a tough team. I mean, Cincinnati is a tough team. And I know Joe doesn't like Tommy Tuberville, but he's a good coach. And he's got a good program already, and they were ready to play. But Purdue will find its way under Coach Hazel, and I'll tell you why. Because the coaches that come out of the MAC conference and have had some success there, seem to do well at the next level. And I have no doubt that he will be able to do that. And so I think, you know, Purdue is going to have to look at their roster. They're going to have to say, hey, we wanted to play some upperclassmen. But as Joe would tell you, if he could jump in right now, I don't even know if he can hear what we're doing because we're having the technical difficulties. There's some underclassmen that Purdue may have to insert in the lineup, and we'll talk about that as the year goes on. Marquee football matchups this weekend. We've got Notre Dame at Michigan. Whether you're an Irish lover or an Irish hater, and I'll tell you what, there's really no in-between. You either love Notre Dame or you don't like them at all. Here's a team that started out very well against Temple, and I thought that they were played even the rest of the game. I thought Temple might have outplayed them a few times. This is a team that under their quarterback, I'm not sure that Tommy Reese is the answer or not. I never saw great rhythm on the offense. I saw big plays early on, which Tommy Reese can do, but we got to find a rhythm. If you're a Notre Dame fan, you're looking for a rhythm for this team. At Michigan, a Michigan team that has depth, but there's questions about how good they are as far as the depth chart is concerned. When I say depth, they're good, 1, 2, 3, but how good are the top depth people? They're still looking for answers on the offense, true leadership. But Brady Hoke gets it done, guys and gals. He gets it done. The guy can coach. And I love that he's not sitting there with a headset on the sidelines listening to everything going on up in the press box. He's coaching. He's coaching. And as he explained, he'll put it on late in the game, critical situations that he needs to, but he's coaching his players. I like that. I like that a lot. I think you've got two primetime coaches there in Brian Kelly and Brady Hoke. I don't think there's any doubt about it. It's going to be a good matchup. It's at Michigan, and I'm going to pick Michigan because Notre Dame did not impress me as far as rhythm throughout that Temple game. I could be totally wrong. They may go in there and squash Michigan, but I think Michigan may get them at home. And I'm disappointed because I'm a Notre Dame fan in football. When it comes to football, and Joe would be all over me on that, I'm a Notre Dame fan. Florida at Miami, big game. Georgia South Carolina at Georgia. South Carolina, of course, is considered a top team in college football. Georgia is too. They got beat by a good Clemson team at Clemson. A couple mistakes, first game out, two top-notch teams playing each other, tough venue, Clemson, and Clemson comes out a winner. It's a big game. I don't know if Georgia should hang their head. A lot of Georgia Bulldog fans were all over Rick on this, questioning him. It's tough when you play a tough team, a top team right out of the chute. And I give Georgia credit for that. That's one thing about some of these SEC teams. They're willing to play tough competition early. And it does hurt their ability to win a national championship. And that's why a real tournament playoff system needs to be in place. You know, they play enough regular season games now, and they play good competition, that a true playoff system needs to exist. Georgia should not be penalized for playing Clemson early. Clemson should not be penalized for playing Georgia early. And we get more of these good matchups early on in the season out of conference. South Carolina, we all know about the old ball coach. Spurrier's done a great job at South Carolina, just as he did at Florida. College football is his niche. And that's going to be a great matchup. Again, that's at Georgia. Can Georgia win this game? I think they can. At Georgia, South Carolina can win the game as well. Again, two top teams going at it, SEC teams going at it early in the season, South Carolina at Georgia. How about the surprise if you're in the bluegrass state? Who's the best team in the state of Kentucky? Louisville? Absolutely. Who's second? Western Kentucky. Yeah, it's, you know, Western Kentucky took on Kentucky and busted Coach Stoops' debate. Man, were they hanging their heads in the bluegrass state. That bluegrass state was seeing red. Red because they were unhappy losing to Western. Red because Western won. And red because the Cardinals dominated in football. Bridgewater can flat play the QB position. So how do you rank football in Kentucky right now? Louisville number one, Western Kentucky number two, and maybe Kentucky number three. I don't know. You have to look at some of those other teams. Western Kentucky is at Tennessee. Boy, I tell you what, the Hilltoppers, they come out and win that game. Boy, are they going to be celebrating in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Western Kentucky has a great history in football. In fact, John and Jim Harbaugh's dad, who coached at Western Kentucky for years before they went on the Division I level, great coach, Jack Harbaugh, great coach, learned under Bo Schembechler at Michigan, met Jack Harbaugh, wonderful guy. Both his sons, of course, leading top teams in the NFL right now. Western Kentucky is playing great football. Now, Kentucky's not very good, folks, but still, they beat them. So you got to give them their props. They go into Tennessee and they win that game. I don't think they can. Joe can't jump in very well because he's cutting in and out. He just sent me the reversible jacket text to let me know, since I'm an IU Notre Dame fan, IU in basketball, Notre Dame in football, I'm the reversible jacket man. Joe, I don't know. You're not too far away. USC, Washington State, I don't know. You got a head coach and a staff they're on the hot seat at USC, and Washington State, another year under former Texas Tech coach. We'll see if that offense is improved. So a bunch of college football games to watch. Of course, Coach K and be up watching the Hoosiers versus Navy. We'll see what the midshipmen bring in with their triple option offense and see what they can do. Folks, we're going to call it a day. We're going to call it a show a little bit earlier than normal. We apologize for that. We didn't get to Kurt Guxel. We didn't get to talk much about the Jasper-Southridge game. It was a great game. It had a lightning delay. It had rain. People left the stadium. People came back to the stadium. It looked like Jasper had the game and it was over. They come back from the Lightning delay. Southridge scores quick. Game goes back and forth. Jasper wins it at the end. Kurt Guksel and Don Schulteis talked a little bit about last week. If you go back and listen to the podcast, which many, many people did, Don Schulteis was questioning, hey, Kurt, make a decision. Kurt made the right decision, toss-up, and the game was a toss-up. So, Kurt Guksel, you didn't get to get on and crow a little bit, so I'm going to crow for you. The man with the mic, the man that sees these teams play night in and night out, or weekend in and weekend out, made the right call. And Southridge showed up and played great football at Jerry Brewer Field, and Jasper did come away with the win and remained undefeated. Jasper will be at Boonville in a big eight matchup, and I think that Boonville does the best they can with what they have. Coach James Blankenship does a very good job, but Jasper just has way too much on both sides of the ball. Physical, they've got some quickness. They got running backs. They can throw the ball when they need to. Got a big old tight end in Austin Hollis. They've just got a good solid team on both ends of the floor, or both ends of the ball on the football field. And then in the pack, you've got Southridge 1-1 after a tough loss against Jasper. They got a strong defense, a solid offense. They take no prisoners. Forest Park at Southridge. That's a big county matchup. If you're from the southern part of Indiana, southern part of the state of Indiana in DuBois County, Forest Park and Southridge. But Forest Park does not have what it takes to stick with the Raiders, especially with what the Raiders have shown in the last two games. Get out and support high school football. Get out and watch college football. Watch it on TV if you don't want to get out in the heat. And NFL all over the place. Folks, we are sorry to cut this show short this week, but these technical problems just make it very difficult to talk with our wonderful guests and contributors. But listen to the podcast again and take what we said and see how right we are, because we know that when it comes to what's going on in sports, Coach K and Joe Show have the pulse of things. We know that, and we know this.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers! Coach K speaks the truth!
Woo! If you're up at the Hoosier game, tailgate and come over and see us. We're behind McNutt. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show. We'll talk to you next week.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelor and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.